Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries on Sunday. It's an honor and a pleasure to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the land of the living. Amen. We want to thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have to serve you, to worship you, to honor you in this life. We thank you, Lord, that the things that we do for Christ will stand in the end. We thank you, Lord, that when we stand before you on that day, those things that we have done in righteousness and in holiness and in our love for you, Lord, they will last. Amen. Other things may be burned up with wood, hay, and stubble, but, Lord, those things will last because they are eternal before your throne. Amen. And a special welcome this morning to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian internet church, and we meet on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America, and on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name, we want to thank you for joining us. However you found us, God bless you one and all. I want you to know that the Lord loves you, that he died for your sins, and that he expects you to repent when you sin. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, that you watch over your people, that you love us, that you care for us. You care for us so much, Lord, that you provide for every need. And we lift up the offering to you this morning, Father. We want to thank you for the offering. We thank you for those that gave, those that desire to give. We thank you, Lord, for what the people have brought forth, the fruit of their labor, the fruit of their hands, Father. And we offer it to you, Lord, and we thank you as a spiritual sacrifice that you will bless it and it will be used for the kingdom. Amen. Those of you who are new to us, we begin our service with a prayer, with an opening prayer, and then we move into repentance and Holy Communion. Amen? Amen. So this would be a good time for you to obtain your elements, the bread and the juice or the wine, for Holy Communion today. Amen? And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels in Jesus' name. We bind the underlings in the name of Jesus Christ. We take the territory in the name of Jesus. We close the portals in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic open door. We bind every form of godliness which denies your power and every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and his blood atonement. We bind every demonic throne, all principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind all rebellion and confusion, all Beelzebub, all distractions, all passivity in Jesus' name. We bind lying and the temptation to sin. We bind all deception and idolatry and error, every kundalini spirit. We bind trafficking demons, technology demons, every witchcraft attack, all evil manipulations, all the prince of the power of the air, all water spirits, every sexual demon, all python spirits, all spirits of whoredom, all spirits of Leviathan, every Morgellons attack in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone. We surround everyone with a wall of fire in Zechariah 2 and 5, the warring linking angels and the praising angels in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of mammon, the transference of evil spirits, all mystic rituals, all oppression and depression, all death and destruction in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, for eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, a mind to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have been taught to trust in you with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, to acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you will direct our path. You teach us, Lord, not to be wise in our own eyes, but to fear you and to depart from evil. For it's health to our navels and marrow to our bones. And we come, Lord, honoring you with our substance and the first fruit of all our increase. We thank you, Lord, that you remove the devourer for our sake, and that our barns will be plenty, and that our presses will break forth with new wine. We thank you for the armor of God, and we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us, Father. We want to thank you. We lift up President Trump to you, his prayer life, his family, his faith in you, his employees, the entire White House staff, and his administration. His presidential campaign and his reelection by a large majority without the contesting of results. We bind every coup and every assassination attempt against his life or against the life of any Christian father. We bind the attack against any Christian finances sent by the opposition in order to close their mouths in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, stand up and speak in the name of the Lord. Speak, for death and life is in the power of your tongue, in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you. We take authority, dominion, and power over every attempt to stop, thwart, stifle, hinder, block, infiltrate, cancel, besmirch, subvert, pervert, or find fault with your people, or in any way reduce the effectiveness of your people in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we do condemn in the name of Jesus Christ. Through you, Lord, we will do valiantly, for you it is who tread down our enemies. We thank you, Lord, that you always deliver the righteous out of trouble, Father. And in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we cut ourselves free from every demonic entanglement in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the demons that have come to attack us wherever they have come from, and we send them back. Bound in the name of Jesus Christ with their wickedness upon their own heads in Jesus' name. We cut and burn all ungodly silver cords, ley lines, all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and every other form of demonic agreement in Jesus' name. We destroy all protection around the demonic realm, especially around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and sorcerers in Jesus' name. We break the power of all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms, fetishes, all mind control, jinxes, voodoo, sorcery, potions, bewitchment, sickness, pain, and torment, all incantations, all hoodoo, crystals, root works, and every form of witchcraft that exists in the name of Jesus Christ. All tribal sins and curses and demons, we return wherever they came from in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you for every opportunity that we have to serve you. Now, Lord, since our last meeting, we have had an opportunity to sin. Some of us even a few moments ago. And we want to thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. We repent of them. We ask you, Lord, to walk us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that we might display, Lord, the character and nature of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. We ask you, Lord, to look in our hearts today and to show us what's really there. As the word comes forth, Lord, bring to our remembrance those things that we need to discuss with you. We thank you, Lord, that you give us strength for every moment, every hour, and every day. We thank you that your grace and your mercy is new every morning because you are faithful to your people. So we thank you, Lord, for the great grace that we receive, and we humble ourselves and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. Mm-hmm. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup in the New Testament is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. For our God is good. Amen? Our God is good. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, saints, the Lord has a treat for us. Yes, he has a treat for us. He always has a treat for us because he likes it when we obey him. Amen? Amen. He always has a treat for his people. We're going to pray this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to pray. And God's going to be glorified.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for President Trump. It is written, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge. He putteth one down and setteth up another. Pray in your prayer languages, saints. Thereby, you have anointed Donald Trump as president of the United States and a leader of the free world. It is written, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Many have ignored this warning, Father, but we appeal to the righteous judge. We ask for his intervention, adjudication, and the full execution of his ruling. We, your saints, know that the Lord saveth his anointed. We know that you will punish Leviathan. Lord, you said, touch not mine anointed. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Thou, O Lord, shall break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Remember, Lord, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as we have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness shall reap the same. But by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of your nostrils are they consumed. Deliver not President Trump and your saints over unto the will of our enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against us, and as such as breathe out cruelty. False witnesses have risen up, and they have laid to President Trump charge things that did not occur. They have rewarded him evil for good. In President Trump's adversity do they rejoice and gather themselves together, lest, yes, abject gather themselves together against him. And he did not know it, neither did we. They attacked us and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in their gatherings, they tore us apart with their teeth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And we are seated in heavenly places with him, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, who also maketh intercession for us. Lord, don't just look on. Rescue his soul from their destructions. We give you thanks, Lord, Let not our enemies wrongfully rejoice over us, neither let them wink with the eye that hate us without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against Trump and your saints. Even others, Father, have received a closed door to your message. Yes, Lord, even in other places where you sent forth your anointed. These things, yes, Lord, they have opened their mouths wide and testified lies and wicked imaginings. These things and more you have seen, Lord, be not far from us. Stir yourself up and awake to our judgment, even unto our cause, our God and our Lord. Judge us, O Lord, our God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over us. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed Trump and them up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion, together that rejoice at our hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against us. Fight against them that fight against us. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for our help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute us. For you, O Lord, are our salvation. Let them be put to shame that seek after our souls. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise our hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord shake them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for us their net in a pit, and without cause they have digged for our souls. Let destruction come upon them unawares, and let their net that they have hid catch themselves. Into that very destruction let them fall. Blessed be the Lord Most High God, which hath delivered our enemies into our hands, and his seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. President Trump's hand shall be in the neck of his enemies. Our hand shall be in the neck of our enemies. Thank you, Lord, for going before President Trump and us, making our enemies to turn their backs before us. He shall chase them and they shall fall. We shall chase them and they shall fall. No longer shall President Trump's enemies have power to stand before him, and neither shall our enemies have power to stand before us. President Trump and your saints shall be remembered before the Lord our God, and we shall be saved from our enemies. Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate us flee before us. Lord, break their bones, eat them up, and pierce them through with your arrows. Lord, drive them out of office and cast all of our enemies out before thee. O saints of the Most High God, as we battle this day against our enemies, let not our hearts be faint. Fear not, neither tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, it is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. We thank you, Father, for honoring the covenant in this matter. So do all of our enemies as it is declared in your word. We are in agreement with our Father, which is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, and the holy ones assembled in the great cloud of witnesses concerning the intercession of the Godhead in these matters. We bind in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 18:18-19, all attempts by the opposition to impeach, remove from office, thwart, stifle, hinder, block, infiltrate, cancel, besmirch, subvert, pervert, find fault, falsely accuse, or in any manner reduce the effectiveness of President Trump or the body of Christ. We, the saints, pray for the sound defeat of the opposition against your saints. Father, we request that God the Holy Spirit move as an enemy to our enemies and an adversary to our adversaries. For the opposition has declared your saints, the saints of the Most High God, to be the enemy to their plans for power worldwide. We, your saints, appeal to the righteous judge and to our deliverer, for this nation is unclean. So is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean to thee and to us. We loose the holy scriptures of the King James Version of the Bible and God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in all such matters. For though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for strength of heart to obey you, for every true believer of Jesus Christ everywhere, and let everyone say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord God. We want to thank you, Lord, this morning for the prayer. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have heard our prayers. You've seen everything. You've heard everything, even that we have not heard. And you have decided that our enemies must be defeated. And we come into agreement with you in the name of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this morning, saints, we're going to have an interesting message. Oh, yes. It's going to be interesting today. Hold on to your hats. You're going to need them. You're going to need them. Amen. Our God is great, and he is powerful, and he is ready to act on behalf of the body of Christ. However, he needs the body of Christ to do some things. He needs the body of Christ to obey him. Amen? He needs the body of Christ to obey him. He calls us, beloved, to act in faith and obey God. Amen? Oftentimes, believers in Jesus Christ encounter challenges as they journey through life. They experience the lust of their own will, which is opposed to the will of God. They come to know the temptation to compromise righteousness. They feel the pressure to follow their own minds instead of a direct command of God. They eventually face the grip of unbelief. During these trials of temptation, the flesh, the self-life, will seek to blame someone or something for the present distress. If suffering is not humbly embraced, fault-finding, murmuring, and complaining will result. Can everybody say amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye. Neither murmur ye. Amen. Don't do any murmuring, God said. As some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So we come to understand, saints, that when we murmur, the destroyer is released in our lives, and the destroyer never fails to destroy. Amen? It's just so. That's the way it works. It was put in place as the world began. And so that is the way that it is. And if we do not wish to be destroyed, we will learn not. I missed something there. We will learn not to complain and murmur. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom has God's power been revealed, uncovered, and made manifest? Was it not the Hebrew people? Has this happened to you? Have you seen the power of God and his might? So do you believe what he has said concerning you? Do you? God has said many things. He's promised many things. But do you believe him? That's a good question. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Amen. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now, right there in your Bible, right on top of that, body of Christ. That's who he's talking about. We are Jesus Christ's house, the house that he built. Not the house that Jack built, the house that Jesus Christ built. Amen? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. You know, we talked about a few weeks ago holding on to our profession of faith. When we came to Jesus Christ, we made a profession of faith. And we are to hold it dear and to hold it precious. We're not to let it go. We're not to let it slip. We're to hold on for dear life. That's what we determined. Amen? And it is so. We can't let go of what we said before the throne of God. It makes a difference what we have said to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It makes a difference what we have said to the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. 40 years is a long time for God to every day prove himself to you. 40 years is a long time for God to prove himself to you over and over every single day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err where? In their heart. They err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Remember that we should enter into his rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Underline that. An evil heart of unbelief. How? In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Yes, sin is quite deceitful. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You see, we have to hold on to that profession we made when we came to Jesus Christ. We must hold on to it to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? He let them drop dead. This is serious. This is nothing to play with. They walked in unbelief, and he let them drop dead right in the wilderness. He didn't resurrect one of them. Walking in unbelief is extremely serious. What you're saying is, I refuse to believe you. You're a liar, God. You're not telling the truth, and I'm not giving you my confidence. After he had proved himself all through all of the plagues in Egypt, all through their release through the Exodus, all coming through the Red Sea and watching Pharaoh's army be drowned by that same Red Sea while they were safe, with the pillar of fire around them by night and the cloud to guide them by the day, and manna in the desert, and everything they needed, God provided. He even gave them rules, regulations, standards, and expectations. Amen? After all of this that God has done, after they knew things that the prophets had said, they did it anyway. And he let their carcasses fall right there in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is nobody to trifle with, trust me. We must fear him and reverence him, for he is God and God alone. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? Unbelievers don't enter into the rest of the Lord. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Amen? Because of unbelief. The word rest referred to here by Paul is not referring to a place of physical rest from our labors. It is not a place where we are free from the problems and cares of this life. It is referring to that powerful spiritual dimension that we've talked about before. We've talked about this before. We've talked about that place in God where we have the victory. That place where God meets us every single time. That place where we continually overcome. We've talked about that before. Amen? We've talked about it over and over and over again. It is a place of peace and security, freedom from fear, worry, and stress, even in the midst of great adversity. It is a place of blessing and provision. It's a place of power and victory over our enemies. It's a place of joy and contentment, a place where we have ceased from our own striving to walk in our own strength, and we are now walking in God's strength. Yes. This is the place that we're talking about today. And this is the place that the Hebrews forsook. Yes. They chose to walk in unbelief, yes, and not in God's rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, the rest we have just described, the rest of victory, the rest of success, the rest of the power of God resting on our lives. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen? The same example of unbelief, you see. The only way To enter the powerful spiritual dimension that God has planned for you is through faith and obedience. To enter that powerful spiritual dimension, you must shut out every voice of unbelief that would tempt or deceive you into disobeying God. You must set your heart and mind to obey God regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. He paid it all. He died for every sin that has ever been committed, from Adam to whomever the last person is. We owe it all to him. Well, you see, the Israelites murmured against God, and thereby they were defeated. The Israelites refused to listen to the voice of God, but chose instead to listen to the negative report. Their hearts were so filled with unbelief that they began to grumble and murmur against Moses and Aaron. Against Moses and Aaron. Numbers 14. You might want to put your marker in Numbers. We're going to be going back there several times this morning. Numbers 14, beginning with verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Well, some of them did. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? So what they're saying to God is, we don't want the liberty you're offering us. We don't want the freedom. We'd rather be in bondage and be treated like slaves all of our lives. We don't want justice at all. They were rejecting God. Their grumbling and murmuring was directed at Moses and Aaron, but their murmuring was actually against God. It is an outward manifestation of the unbelief that was in their heart. They murmured and they complained about a lack of food. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. My, God heard all of that, you see. You see, God brings you out of the world. You come into the kingdom of God. Things aren't immediately going the way you think they ought to go. And there you go. There goes the map. You know, I was better off out there in the world. I had more friends. I had more money. I had a better car. And blah, 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 blah. Repent. It has been done. And just about everybody that's ever been a Christian has been guilty at some point of doing such. I was better off out there in the world. I could party with my friends. I could dance till dawn. I didn't have to worry about going to church. I didn't have to worry about fighting demons. I didn't have to worry because things were easier then. But you were going to hell then. Remember that? Do you remember that you were headed straight for the gates of hell? Do you remember that? Do you remember your soul was wretched and undone? Do you remember that? Do you remember the wickedness you used to live in? But you want to complain about how hard it is to be a Christian. I can't fast because it's just so hard. It's so hard, God, I can't fast. I can't pray all night. I can't seek your face. It's just too hard. Well, you know, when you were back doing the do with people you had no business doing the do with, did you think that was hard? You suffered the consequences of your sin, but that didn't stop you from sinning. You fornicated as often as you could, and you just didn't care whether they was yours or married to somebody else. You didn't care. You did every manner of perversion that you could do. If it was out there, you tried it. All you had to do was hear about it. You drank what you could drink. You smoked what you could smoke. You did everything. You said words that you can't even remember now. And they flowed out of your mouth like a river. You hung with some of the worst creatures that ever existed. You took more drugs than I could remember being a pharmacist. Come on, tell the truth today. You did witchcraft. You did all kinds of perverse sins. You was whoremongers and liars and thieves and seducers, some of the worst vile people in the world. You tried to outdo each other being evil. It was a competition to see who could be the most vile. And you were determined to win the competition. You were hanging out with your buddies. They were doing things that you didn't want your family to know about. And you still don't want anybody to know about. You never tell your true testimony because it would shame you before the body of Christ. The real reason you saved, you don't talk about that. You get up and you tell the nice version, you know, the sanitized version. You don't tell the real dirt you did. They might not speak to you again if you tell the whole truth. You know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If they could go into the sea of forgetfulness and pull out everything with your name attached, you wouldn't be able to look them in the face. And you know it's the truth. But yet, now that God has brought you into the kingdom, washed you up, cleaned you up, peeled off some of those generational curses you had, pulled out some of those devils that had you going crazy, you knew you was a nut undone. Your mind was just as wild. It went any and everywhere. You had no control over your mind. The demons taught you what to think from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. But now you're getting cleaned up. You know five whole scriptures. And you know how to quote them to the devil. And now you know how to say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. But now you get too lazy to come to the computer on Sunday, turn it on so you can hear what God has to say to you. Now you want to complain that the car ain't starting. Well, you used to call that other lady's husband over to start your car. Amen. Just keep a straight face. The whole world won't know what you did. Amen. Amen. It's just so. It's just so. In Numbers 14:11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? God didn't appreciate that. He didn't appreciate it at all. No, he didn't. Numbers 14, beginning with verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, God is saying. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save for Caleb and Joshua. My God finally had enough. You know God can have enough of your murmuring, your complaining, and your fault-finding and blame. Amen? Whining is not a virtue. It's a sin. They had murmured and complained that there was no water. That was bold. That was really bold. Yeah, they did. They were not satisfied with the manna God had given them, and they murmured and complained that there was no flesh. Amen. They did that. They had some nerve. You know, these are some nervy people. I think I'm a little too scared of God to try that. I want to be breathing when this is over. Exodus 16, beginning with verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur, that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmuring. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. You see, saints, God didn't take kindly to that, and he doesn't take kindly to it when we do it either. He doesn't appreciate it. It says that we are an unthankful and ungrateful people, and we know that that does not please God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they listened to the negative report concerning the giants in the land, and they murmured and complained that they were going to die by the sword, and their wives and children would be taken as plunder. And God heard their murmuring and was filled with wrath against them. And their constant murmuring was a means of accusing him of not fulfilling his promise to them. That's not good, son. They turned their backs on him and were forgetting what he had already done for them. They were forgetting what he had already done for them. These are dangerous people. They live dangerous. This is called living dangerously, when you have too much to say to God, when you have hard sayings against him. That's living dangerously. You know, I think people forget that God wiped out the entire population of the entire globe, with the exception of 8 people, in 40 days. They were gone. The animals and the people. He wiped it all out. He's not playing. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He is no respecter person. 21. Think about that for a moment. Don't just let that slide past you. The entire population of the globe, with the exception of 8 people and a few animals. Every bird, every spider, every cricket, every ant, every lion, every antelope, every human being. He wiped them all away. Okay. But then, knowing this, the Hebrews had too much to say about God. They got all in Moses and Aaron's face. They had too much to say. Be careful when you have too much to say about God to let. God is listening. Amen? God is listening. And God doesn't think it's cute. Not at all. He didn't appreciate the way they acted. Murmuring will keep you in defeat. Murmuring will keep you in defeat. That's a strategy that Satan will use to defeat you, is to cause you to murmur and complain against God. Murmuring is an outward expression of unbelief. It reveals a lack of trust in God's goodness, his love, and provision for his people. There are many Christians today who have fallen into this snare of the enemy. When they face problems in their finances, in their families, on the job, instead of trusting God, believing that he will meet their need and praising him for what he has already done and is going to do for them, they begin to murmur. Think about it. How many times have you done this? They may not speak it audibly, but in their hearts they are thinking, why has God allowed this to happen to me? I'm tired of never having enough money to meet our needs. Why do our children always have to do without the things they need? Why doesn't God answer and meet our needs? Has he forgotten us? Why is it so hard? These demons just keep showing up. These dreams just keep showing up. You know, I didn't have any problem before. No, you were, the devil owned you, dear. You were his. He doesn't fight those that are his. He fights believers. If there's a chance that you're going to stand for Jesus and win another soul to Christ, even if it's just one, he's going to fight you to the death. Trust me, he will. That's what he does. He's going to come at you every way he can. And then your relatives want to sit back and say, you know, they got all these problems and da-da-da-da-da. Look at what they don't have this week. And you know how long she done had that car. Remember when she got it? Well, you know how many cars I had since then. And on and on and on they go. But you see, they are still out there in the devil's grasp, and you're still praying for them to come in the kingdom. While they're busy talking about you, you're busy praying for them. You're fasting for them. You're believing for them. And you know she go down to that church and she give them all her money. And now she ain't got money to go fix that thing that happened on the side of her house. She ain't got money for that because she gave all her money to the church. Can you believe she gave her money to the church? You know them preachers how they are. All they do is stand there and say what they want to say, and then they take your money, and then they run off and do. Did you hear about that preacher about 5 years ago? And then it goes on and on and on and on. And you thought you were going over there for Thanksgiving dinner, and you get to hear all of this. It's called persecution. That's what that is. That's persecution. If you were wondering what that's called, it's persecution. On the job, they murmur about the work, the amount of work they have. Not thankful they got a job still. When other people lost theirs, no. Amen. They murmur and grumble about their salaries, but they still got one, you see. The working conditions and that they aren't being treated fairly. Well, Christians aren't treated fairly down here. Jesus said, if they'll persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Did you get it? He meant what he said. The Israelites murmured about the carnal desires and appetites of their flesh. Now you know the Bible says that our flesh man is crucified with Christ. Did we forget so soon? They were not satisfied with the manna that God had provided for them. They were ungrateful for what God had given them and longed for the flesh, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic that they had eaten and enjoyed in Egypt. They wanted to be slaves again. Can you imagine? With the whip on their back, they wanted to go back to slavery. Really? What were they thinking? Today, there are Christians who are murmuring about the type of food they have to eat or about the peas that are on the fast. They are murmuring about their lack of clothes, the type of car they drive, but their car's still moving, their furniture, or the house they live in. Well, it's their house, you see. We must recognize murmuring as a trick of the enemy to keep us living in defeat. When we murmur, we are doubting God's provision and care for us. Moses told the Israelites, oh, here we go again. He told them they didn't have any business murmuring and grumbling. When we murmur and grumble, we are not murmuring against people or our circumstances. We are murmuring against God, and he hears us. Not only does he hear us, not only does God hear us, but it hinders, but our unbelief hinders us from acting in faith upon his promises, and we cannot receive what we need. We do it to ourselves, and the enemy sits there and laughs. And then we come to church with our mouths all poked out. The praise and worship going on, and we stand here, and he's a mighty good God. Jesus, be a friend all around me every day. We can't lift our hands in praise. We're holding our chin up with our hands, and we wonder why God is just looking at us going, when are they going to get it? Paul used the example of the Israelites to warn the Corinthians not to grumble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But many of them God was not well pleased with, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, believers, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. There it is. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 23,000. 23,000 people died in one day, one blow. Woo! Over, done, finished. 23,000. Imagine 23,000 people all gone. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. The serpents came and bit them, took them out. Neither murmur ye and some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. The destroyer still exists, by the way, in case you were wondering. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they come, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. God's not going to take you over the cliff and you just dangle and fall. That's not our God. But will with the temptation also make what? A way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Boy, isn't that grace? Isn't that mercy? Isn't that the love of God? Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. That's important. Flee from idolatry. Just as murmuring kept the Israelites out of the promised land, murmuring will keep you from entering into that powerful spiritual dimension known as God's rest, where there is freedom from worry and stress, God's blessing and provision, power and victory. Murmuring is an outward sign of unbelief, and it will keep you living in defeat. Ooh, it will keep you, not just take you there, it will keep you there. Keep you living. Just as murmuring led the Israelites. This is awful, you know, say? When you think about it, this is awful. Just as murmuring led the Israelites into further rebellion against God, it will lead you into rebellion and disobedience. You open the door to rebellion and disobedience with your mouth while murmuring. When Satan tempts you to murmur about your circumstances, recognize it as one of the strategies to defeat you, and instead of murmuring, begin to thank and praise God for his faithfulness toward you. Release your faith and trust God to meet your needs. Through faith and obedience, you are able to take full possession of your spiritual inheritance. Because of their unbelief, the Israelites rebelled and disobeyed God. They refused to hear the voice of God. They rejected his word. They refused to act on what he had promised. They refused to obey. God had told them to go and take possession of the land, but instead of going forward, they rebelled and turned back. Before them was the land God had promised them. It belonged to them. See, God had given it to them. It was rich and fertile with green valleys. It was a land where God had promised to bless and multiply them above the other nations of the earth. It was a land where God had promised to give them health and prosperity. Yet because of unbelief, they turned back. In Numbers 14, verse 3 through 4. Numbers 14, verses 3 through 4. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Let's go backward, not forward. Now, saints, God doesn't play that game. If you want to play that game, you need to rethink whatever you've been thinking. you need to rethink whatever you have been thinking. Not only did they refuse to hear the voice of God, they rejected him as their leader. God had sent the angel of the covenant, the Son of God, to go before them to lead, instruct, and guide them. As long as they were obedient to him, God had promised to give them victory over their enemy. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. If God tells you to open the front door, it doesn't mean open the window. It means to open the front door. Amen? It does not mean open every window in the house and the skylight. It means to open the front door and stop and wait on his next instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That means we're supposed to cling to God. Just like the Bible says, husbands are supposed to leave their fathers and mothers and cling to their wives. Amen? You know, they're men. Well, let's say it this way. Let's say it not. They are males who need to mature into manhood. If you're grown enough to choose a woman and decide you want to keep that woman and you want to be with that woman and you want to know her, you know what I mean. You need to be man enough to have a job to support that woman. You ought to have some place for her to live. You ought to be able to put something over her head. You ought to have something to offer that woman. And you ought to man up enough to cut the apron strings from your mama and quit running back home to your mama and your daddy every time you short 5 cents. Every time you and your wife have a little, you all have a little few words there. Instead of you going out back, getting on your knees and calling on Jesus, repenting of the parts you said that you had no business saying, where are you? On the phone with your mom. And now your mama is butting in what's none of her business. And if you keep doing it, there's going to come a judgment from heaven. Because I'm going to tell you how this really does work. Marriage is a covenant relationship between God, the husband, and the wife. And when people butt in and get in the way and got their nose all in it and giving you money, and so since they're giving you money, they think that's the string they can use to manipulate you. They got influence in your relationship because they're giving y'all money. And so they can call the shots too, so they think. Y'all don't know what you're doing. Let me show you what to do. But that's not the marriage covenant. The marriage covenant does not include her children from the first marriage, your children from wherever they came from. It doesn't include your family or her family. The marriage covenant is between God Almighty, who did not invent marriage. Marriage came out of him, and he presented it to mankind. It's between God Almighty, one man with a male organ, one woman with female organs. Is that plain enough? Yes. Praise the Lord. And those organs are supposed to be used to the glory of God, yes. Not in perversion. Yes. You see, he designed the organs to fit a certain way. And all that extra that you did not learn in Christ has no business defiling a holy marriage bed. Because when the Lord gave it to you, it was sanctified. It was holy because you came under his ordinances, his statutes, his jurisdiction. And you have no business defiling a pure and holy thing that God has given unto you. Repentance is required. Praise the Lord. Amen. They refused to follow God and obey him and chose instead to follow their self will. Isn't that how you got in the message you got into anyway? Doing it your way? They chose to go back into Egyptian bondage rather than obey God. They chose to go back to Egypt and satisfy the carnal desires of their flesh instead of pressing forward in faith and taking possession of the land. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Mm-hmm. Your wife can cook just as good as she can cook. If you think she needs to cook better, call on Jesus. He'll teach her more. It's not necessary for you to show up to your mama's house every weekend for her collard greens and cornbread. You had plenty of years of that. You had a lifetime full of it. You know how her rice tastes. You know how she cooked them turkey wings. You watched her do that over and over. Well, the Bible says it's time to reach forth for those things that are before. Believe your wife to cook better biscuits than your grandma. God can do it. He invented food. He made it. He made everything that makes food. If he could teach them to cook, he can teach your wife too. And maybe you ought to get in the kitchen and learn a recipe or two yourself so you have something to bless her with. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Who says she the only person know how to make the washing machine work? I think there's some instructions come with most washing machines, and they tell you which buttons to push. Amen, it's so. They refused to follow God. Yes, they did. And to take possession of their inheritance, it would be necessary for them to face the giants, to face their enemies, and to drive them out. Because of their unbelief, they feared their enemies more than they feared God. Instead of going into battle and taking dominion over their enemies, they chose to go back to their bondage and slavery in Egypt. They were on the verge of victory. Israel retreated. Now, you know that's not pleasing God. You right on the brink of a breakthrough, and you decide, it's just too hard. Oh, it's too hard, God. I've taken it for so many years. I can't take 10 more minutes of this, Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus hung on the cross till it was finished?
Amen.
He didn't get down off the cross before it was finished. If he had, we would all be going to hell. There would be no hope for anybody. Isn't he our example of how to overcome, how to walk in victory? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, no, go to you. I want to go to Psalm 95. No, I'm going to read it anyway. Okay, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son, Jesus Christ, also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Really? Yes, it's so. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even. Listen, saints, you need to unline this. Whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself. There ain't anything God can't subdue. Your in-laws, your outlaws, and whatever laws you got. I don't care what they say about you. You belong to Jesus, and you need not forget that. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. A joyful noise. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Forty years long was I grieved with this generation. Woo! Forty years, the Holy Spirit was grieved. 40 years, the Holy Spirit was grieved. You know you can't get from earth to heaven without the Holy Spirit. He has to take your spirit and your soul through the heavens to the other side. And no airplane knows the way there. You can't afford to grieve him. He's the one that gets you out of the messes down here. He's the one that keeps your spirit and soul in your body. You can't afford to grieve him. And said, it is a people that do err in their heart. And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Saints, it is not cool to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. You can't go around upsetting the Holy Spirit. It just don't work that way. I'm telling you now, it don't work that way. It just doesn't. God gave them new spiritual territory, and he told them to go in and possess it. Numbers 13, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers 14, verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Saints, it's dangerous to do such things. It's time for you to walk in the power God has planned for you. It's time for you to press on into the perfection that's possible in Christ. It's time for you to walk in 100% victory over Satan and the flesh and the world. It is time for you to enter into a place of total trust and faith in God that will enable you to look at every circumstance absolutely free from worry, knowing that God will give you the victory. The time has come. Are you ready for the test? The time has come. Are you ready for the test? Your spiritual inheritance, including all the covenant promises of God, are yours. Legally, they belong to you. However, having the promises is not the same as taking possession of them. You see, the promised land was there, but they had to take possession. To enter into this new spiritual territory, you must be willing to walk in obedience to God and his word. You must be willing to go into battle and to take dominion over the enemy of your life. Satan will do everything possible to get you to turn your back and disobey God. He will try to get your eyes on the saints, the giants, your weaknesses, your inabilities. He will make you think you're too weak spiritually, that you have too many problems, that your faith is too weak. Israel's victory over their enemies was not based upon their strength and ability. It was not dependent upon their strength. Let me say that again. It was not dependent upon the strength or weaknesses of their enemies. So it's not dependent upon how strong or how weak you are, or how strong or how weak your enemies are. It's not dependent on those things. Get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes back on Jesus Christ. Their victory was dependent upon God's ability. Their victory was dependent upon God's ability. Their victory was dependent upon God's ability. Not theirs, not their enemies, not anybody else. God Almighty. Amen? They were to go into battle against their enemies, but it was God who was going to drive out their enemies and give them victory. Israel was defeated because they had their eyes focused upon their own limited strength instead of upon the power of Almighty God and upon his faithfulness to keep his promises to them and give them the victory over their enemies. Israel had their eyes in the wrong place. You see, it's God that gives the victory. The victor now lives in you. Either you're going to depend on him or you're going to depend on yourself. Which way is it going? God has set before you a new spiritual territory, and he has told you to go take possession of it. His one requirement is obedience. Your ability to walk in 100% obedience to God is not dependent upon your own limited strength. It is dependent upon God's ability. If you keep your eyes on your own strength, you will be tempted to turn back. By faith, Caleb and Joshua looked beyond the giants, beyond their own limited strength, and saw the power of God. They were convinced that God would deliver them out of the hands of their enemies just as he had promised. So he told them, we're well able to take this land. We're well able. They believed the report. We asked in the beginning, who has believed the report of the Lord? Who's believed his report? And to whom has his power and his might been revealed? 12 went in, 2 saw it. which camp are you in?
Oh, Lord.
You must now, by faith, begin to look beyond your own limited strength and keep your eyes upon God's ability. You must choose to obey. You must yield yourself to God and walk in obedience in His strength. God has brought you to a new point in spiritual destiny. We didn't do all this fasting for nothing, folks. All that God requires of you is to hear His voice and obey. God has positioned you for victory. By faith, go forward and take possession of your spiritual inheritance in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, those of you who know that you have murmured and complained,
oh, yes,
you have murmured and complained even this week. Some of you murmured and complained on the fast.
Why do we have these green peas?
Because God made green peas just for you. Amen? I want you saints to recast this broadcast and listen to it over and over and over again till you get it in your spirit that there is no excuse for you going back in the sin. Going back where you came from. You stepped over in this fast into a new place with the Lord. And you need to behave that way. Amen?
Amen.
You need to behave that way. Let us stand for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the church said, Amen. God bless you. Pastor loves you. Be real with God. Amen.